leading us in that music and for a wonderful song that y'all have just shared. I want to invite you. This is the exact scripture that I was sharing with our children this moment when I invited our children to come down. So scripture, it comes from the sixth chapter. This is in the New Testament, Galatians chapter 6. We're going to start at verse 7 and continue through verse 10. I'm going to use a translation of the Bible. It's called the New Living Translation. So that's what you'll see projected on the wall. But I encourage you, you don't have to use that version. You can find your own version, your own favorite version. But that's what we're reading, Galatians chapter 6, starting at verse 7, going through verse 10. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. And at just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, and especially to those who are in the family of faith. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we do thank you for these words that you are speaking in our midst. We thank you, O God, for all the words that have been shared, for the songs that have been sung, the prayer requests that have been made. We thank you, O God, for your presence with us. We pray and ask that in this moment that you will let our hearts be open before you, that you will let our spirits be open before you. May these words become living words that are able to equip us, O God, for the good that you would have us to do. And I thank you, O God, for the words that you have spoken into my heart. I pray and ask that as I speak this morning, that my words may be acceptable and pleasing in your sight. For this we ask together in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Savior. Amen. There is this beautiful verse of scripture. It comes out of the Old Testament. And you've likely heard this verse before that says, be still and know that I am God. If you have been around me for the past couple of years or so, that is a verse that has stayed with me for quite a while. And I will say this, that just in a moment, and you can see it all projected, you can see it on the screen, but just in a moment, as inspiring as this verse is, I've got to tell you, it has been incredibly hard for me to practice. It has been so difficult for me to really pay attention to this. And for about 2 years, I have really tried, starting in prayer, starting in meditation, starting to spend some time in meditation and silence. Now, you know that I said starting about 2 years ago, I would love to tell you that I started this in 2020 when COVID was happening and everything just had that drastic shift in all of our worlds, but I wasn't there. I was not. I was far from it there. But it was a couple of years ago that I started saying, I want this to be a regular basis, a regular part of my own devotional life. And at one point in a meditation that I was doing, there was this question that was posed. And it said, who are you doing this for? This idea about be still and know that I'm God, and this question that got posed from outside. It's not something that I came up with, but it was part of a meditation. And I said, who are you doing this for? And I thought, well, immediately, well, I'm doing this for God. I'm doing this for myself, for my own spiritual life, because one of the things that I want is I want to draw closer to God. But that's not what this question is really asking. This question is really asking when it says, who are you doing this for? It says, who are the people that are around you? Who are the people around you that may benefit from the time that you're spending in stillness with God? Who's your family? Who's your friends? Who are the people that you work with that may benefit from the time that you're spending with God? And I will tell you, for me, that question that once I came, and I was slow to get there, but I will tell you that once I came to that, that became very much a motivator in my own life. It was, in fact, it was It was a breakthrough in my own stillness. It was a breakthrough in my own meditation, my own prayer life, just that one question. And I got to say, it should not. It should not be a breakthrough, and it should certainly not be a surprise like it was for me. Because as followers of Jesus Christ, we are part of, so in fact, throughout the New Testament, the Apostle Paul will remind us, but in fact, in other places through the Scriptures, we are the body of Christ. And if we are, which is what we say that we are as people at Grace Point, if we are the body of Christ, this should be a part of everything that we're doing together to ask that question, who are we doing this for? Because we recognize that we are connected with one another, that we are in lives together with one another. And this morning, what we're going to do is we are going to end this conversation that comes out of John chapter 10, verse 10, about this more and better life. In fact, in John 10, verse 10, this is what Jesus says. And if you could point to a place in the Bible where Jesus says, this is why I've come to earth, or if you could pull it back and say, this is the mission statement that Jesus has of why Jesus came to earth. This is as close as you could come to it. I came so that they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. And I realize that this is extraordinarily hard to live. That it is really difficult for us to live in this way. And we're, in fact, gathering on Wednesday nights at 6:30, just right through those doors in the fellowship hall. We face Ted on some of these challenges about what does it mean to live this more and better life with Jesus, and talked about how do we do this every single day? How do we do this over and over in our lives? I mean, because if you look at that verse, it's an extraordinarily easy Bible verse to memorize. It's a really simple verse to memorize, just like be still and know that I'm God, both simple verses to memorize. But once you start to say, okay, what does that mean for me? How do I begin to live that? How do I shape my life in such a way that Jesus is, in fact, leading me into a more and better life? And one thing about it is that this idea of asking a question about, in my journey with God and the spiritual life that I'm living, and saying, what is making it more and better? Well, something about us being together, something about us asking this question together, I think makes a big difference for all of us. And I think makes a big difference in all of our lives. There's this old African proverb that says this. It says it this way. It says, if you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go together. And my entire goal for what we've been doing together over these past few weeks is for us to go far. As I said, we're going to end the series on this conversation about John 10:10. We're going to end the series about this conversation about a more and better life. But I don't want it to end in our lives. I want it to continue to expand in our lives. And I think that one of the things that can really make it stick in all of our lives is to ask ourselves that question, who are we living this more and better life for? This more and better life, this more than you ever dreamt of living, who are you living this life for? In fact, who are you doing this for? Because it's part of our DNA as Christians to live together, to be in relationship together with each other. But again, easy to know, easy to have the information from it, but it's hard to actually live and do it every day. But the genius about going together is that if we do it together, we get to go really far. As today's reading from the book of Galatians reminds us all, you will always harvest what you plant. So let us not get tired of doing what is good. Whenever the opportunity comes out, let us do good, and especially let us do good for the family of faith. And as much, it's so interesting, as much as rugged individuality permeates our culture. And I chuckle a little bit because Leslie and I, just this morning before worship, were having this same conversation. But as much as rugged individuality permeates our culture, we've got a chance to stand out. And you heard me. I was really trying to share that with our children this morning. We have a chance to stand out. And so how do we stand out? Well, there's two ways. If we don't grow tired of doing good. And I think that's something that our children can easily latch onto and say, you know what? I'm never going to grow up. I'm never going to get tired of doing good. And in fact, you can look at them and think, well, they're never, ever going to get tired at all. But, you know, they confess to us. They said even they get tired, even they get weary, and even they get worn out. But I think at their age, I think that for them, they can say, yes, I'm always going to do the good thing. I'm always going to do the right thing. Whether I'm in church, whether I'm out of church, whether I'm with good friends, whether I'm with bad friends, I'm always going to stand up. I'm always going to do the good thing. Us, from experience, we know that's going to be increasingly challenging to them. Well, there's two ways that us as adults, us as grown people in the room and also online, there's two ways that we have an opportunity to stand up, don't grow tired of doing good, and also to stand together, to do it together. But not growing tired of doing good can be overwhelmingly challenging. Just think about the times this week, and I hope that you are already doing that, because that's what I invited our children to do this morning. But I hope that you are already had your own mind start to wander in that direction too. Is that just this week? Think about how many times this week that you have leaned toward the good, that you have been responsible for doing good. Or even over this month, how many times you have leaned into doing good, and how many times has it come into your life and has it raised in front of you and you said, I'm just so tired of doing this. Times it doesn't seem worth it. Times it doesn't seem worth your effort. Times that it seems, and just think about the people around you at work. Just think about the people in the meetings that you have had, the gatherings that you have had with other people, the other places that you found in your own selves, our own friends. What about our own families? What about that idea of what it means to be doing good? What about all those times that you have grown tired and said, you know what? It's just not worth it. Not this week, not this month, not today. Yeah, I'll get back to it. I'll get back to the doing good, but you know, for right now, I need to break. Right now, I need to rest. Well, if you have, in fact, felt that and then said, you know, but when you find yourself in the next situation that you're going to do it one more time, John Wesley, the founder of the United Methodist Church, he would say, you know what? Even though you were tired, even though you were worn out from it, and even though you said to yourself, I'm not going to do good again, John Wesley would remind you, well, if you're going to do it one more time, it feels just like being Methodist. In fact, there's a pretty famous quote. John Wesley is the founder of the United Methodist Church, but Wesley says this. He says, do all the good that you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. Now again, how compelling is this message? How compelling is this idea? Do all the good you can by all the means you can, in all the ways you can. That's why as Methodist preachers, we tend to focus on those first three. We tend to memorize in threes. So that's the one I can most likely quote to you. But notice how it continues to increase at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. And if you're not careful, I mean, you can even grow tired and weary just reading this, this quote. And if you do, if you do get weary and tired just reading this, you're not alone. It's actually an advantage that we have as a community and as a church to put messages like this in front of us and say, you know, we want to commit ourselves to standing out as being the people of God who do good. It was a leadership roundtable just a few years ago. And the leader in the group was talking about offering in churches and local congregations. This is not like district level. This is not general conference level or anything. But you know, places like this, places like Grace Point. And the leader in the group was talking about offering parenting classes. The leader was talking about and even parenting seminars. You know, that a local church would do this. And I'm in my mind again. There's times when I'm slow to catch on to things. I was thinking, well, I don't really think about that being as the kind of thing that a church does. But let's talk about, you know, just offering kinds of ways to help parents who may find themselves in our communities and in our neighborhoods who are struggling just a little bit. And someone quickly raised this idea and said, yeah, we can offer some classes, we can offer some seminars, and you know what will happen? You know what will happen in my context? You know what will happen in my church? Is that people will come to those. People will show up to those, and they'll be involved in those, but you know, they won't make it to places. They won't make it to Sunday school. They won't make it to places like this on a Sunday morning. And the leader spoke up and said, yeah, you're absolutely right. Now that caught my attention when the leader of this leadership table, you know, again, talking about local churches like us, said, yeah, you're absolutely right, and said, because what we're talking about is we're talking about creating well, some opportunities for people to learn, for people to grow. And he said, for some parents who are just barely keeping their heads above water. And says some of the things that you may not realize is that there are parents that may be interested in a seminar, that may be interested in a class, and they are parents that, yeah, they're not going to show up on Sunday morning because they're working two jobs. They're working two jobs just to try to barely scrape enough money together to make ends meet. It says that, yeah, oftentimes they're not going to show up because these are some parents that have been visited by the Department of Human Resources and have been told to their faces that they've got to make some changes if they want their children to continue living in their homes. And these are some people, some parents, that not only are they parenting their toddlers, their preschoolers, their older children, but they also have aging parents that live in their houses and that they're taking care of. And says, you should not be surprised that even when you offer the most well-planned lesson or the most equipped seminar that will help people like this, says you should not be surprised that there are going to be times that those parents are going to come into your church and they are going to break down. And they are going to cry. And they're going to say, I just need some help right now. And says, because of the week that they're having, that you will never be able to get to your lesson plan in that week. And then the question that emerges that says, but don't you think that God can be in that classroom and in that seminar in the same way that God can be present in worship and present in Sunday school? And as you can imagine, you know, it was the last thing that I thought I would place on a church calendar, but as you can imagine, it was a resounding yes. God can be present in those places. You see, this real challenge to this more and better life with Jesus is for those of us who have seen it and for those of us who have experienced it in our own lives, those of us who have been transformed by Jesus, the real challenge is for us not to grow weary and tired in doing good. Imagine the good that God is calling us to do in our own homes with our own families. Imagine what is the good that Jesus is inviting us to do in our neighborhood and also in our community. And imagine how that good can be multiplied because we are doing it together, because we intend to go far and we intend to do it together. You know, the Apostle Paul, in a letter to the Colossians, it's again a New Testament, it's a New Testament book, but in his letter to the Colossians, a community that was attempting to live their lives and shape their lives, all in the sense of Jesus Christ, who was crucified, dead, and buried, and had been resurrected, was alive on the third day. But the Apostle Paul wrote to them in a letter and said, Christ in you is the hope of glory. And do you know why the Apostle Paul, do you know why Paul is saying this to a first century church in Asia Minor? Because those were the very people who had experienced the transformative power of Jesus Christ in their own lives. They have tasted the more and better life with Jesus. And as hard and as difficult as it was to live in the first century, Paul is inviting them to imagine, to dream as people of God, ways that they never thought possible to change their own families, their own neighborhood, their own community. Paul says, you've got a tremendous opportunity here because Christ is alive in you. And that is hope of glory for everyone else that is on this street, that is on this path, that is around this entire region. A few weeks ago, I shared with you a Bible verse that says, your life is a journey that you must travel with a deep consciousness of God. This is 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. It's a verse that's been staying with me. It's been sticking with me. But all those people that were hearing that message, Christ in you, the hope of glory, they were on different spiritual paths. Each of them on different spiritual journeys. Not all of them were experiencing life in Christ as the hope of glory. All on different paths. All on different journeys. And Paul knew this. Paul knew that for some, the very hope of God's glory coming to their families, well, that was what he wished for. That's what they wished for. The hope of glory coming to those places that they work, that's where some of them were focused on. That's what they wished for. And in fact, those places like leather working guilds, those places like tent making associations that Paul himself was a part of. And for some of them, just in a space like this, just when they gathered in a place to worship God, that they were saying, I hope that God's glory shows up in this place. But Paul says it all depends on you. It all depends on you that the hope of God's glory spreading and moving out here, it depends on what God has done in your life. And so please don't dismiss this more and better life in your own relationships. Because what is true in the first century world is even more true in our own lives because Christ in you is the hope of glory. And the good news is that if you have never experienced that in your own life, this is the opportunity that we always have. That if you have never experienced Jesus Christ being in you the hope of glory, you have an opportunity to come and you have an opportunity to pray at the altar. I'll be happy to pray with you, but there are a number of other people that are in this space that will be happy to pray with you. But the opportunity that we have is this more and better life that Jesus invites us to live in John chapter 10, verse 10. Well, Paul reminds us that is the hope of glory that our families, that our neighborhood, that our community, that is the invitation that God is giving through us so that they may have that hope in their lives as well. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Almighty God, what tremendous callings you place on all of our lives. Lord, we know that we have been created in your image. We know that we have been formed and shaped and equipped by you for every good work in our own lives. And Lord, let us not grow tired of doing good. And let us never forget, oh God, those people that are in desperate need of the hope. Well, Lord, to the hope that fuels and transforms our lives. Oh, Lord, we pray that in this moment that as we sing together, that your hope will come to life in our lives and in our church, and that your hope of glory, Lord, may spread throughout the world. We pray and we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
you, if you have any interest in learning a little bit about Vacation Bible School, we'll have a meeting just right in here in this space immediately after we end our time in worship. But let us do. Let us celebrate the many blessings that God gives so freely into our lives. If you had not had an opportunity to give your tithe or your offering, there are offering plates there in the back, you can do that. But let us sing together as we celebrate the many blessings that God gives us.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him, all